Good morning, church. It's so good to be able to gather with you today, even though it may be digitally. It's so good just to gather together in living rooms all across Penticton and even throughout the world. And I'm very excited to be able to share the Word of God with you today. But the first thing I want to do is I want to ask you to do something with me, all right? Because we are doing a sermon series called God at Home. And so in this series, we are emphasizing the Holy Spirit. And because last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, you know, the time where the disciples first received the Holy Spirit after Jesus had left them. That was Pentecost Sunday. Okay, and we know that the Holy Spirit is alive, that he's living, and that he's speaking in our lives. But the thing is about the Holy Spirit is that he's a gentleman. He won't intrude your life unless you ask him to and make space for him to move and to speak. And Pastor Dave last week in his sermon ended reminding us that asking us to, you know, Jesus is telling us to ask him for the Holy Spirit. And he challenged us to ask, to seek, and to knock for the Holy Spirit. So right now, wherever you are, let's just first start by opening up to the Holy Spirit. Let's ask, seek, and knock for him. And so what I want us to do is just where you are right now, we're going to just quietly pray in our hearts for like 10 seconds and just tell the Holy Spirit, hey, I'm open. Speak to me today. I'm going to do it with you right here. It's going to be quiet, though. I'm not going to say it aloud. Let's just take 10 seconds and let's open up to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in our lives for the next 30 minutes and today. So let's just do that quickly. Okay, awesome. Now that we've given the Holy Spirit room to move, let's dig into the Word. And so last week, Dave started off this series, and it was Pentecost Sunday, okay, and that's when he introduced this. And our main text is found in Acts, okay, the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the first 30 years of church, okay, and we are specifically using the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7 in his powerful speech to the high priest and to the council. Okay, and if you missed last week and you don't know what's happening, I encourage you, after this sermon, go back to last week's sermon, listen to the podcast, listen to it on the website so you can watch Pastor Dave as well, because he explains this text really, really well. Okay, but to sum up the main point Stephen was trying to get across to the high priest and to the council was that he showed the multiple people throughout the Old Testament who experienced God outside of the temple. All right, the temple wasn't essential for people to experience God. It was still valuable, and Stephen made sure to show that, but it wasn't essential to experience God. He sums it all up in chapter 7, verse 48, when he says, "However, the Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands." And he says this because Jesus has made the Holy Spirit accessible to anyone. Okay, anyone can experience the Holy Spirit, and as Christians, we carry his Spirit inside of us. So wherever you are, if you're at a grocery store, if you're at a relative's house, or if you are at home, we can experience God there because of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are starting this week, with the question, how can I experience God or the Holy Spirit at home? So today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Okay, the Bible isn't one giant book. Okay, it's a bunch of little books, 66 to be exact. They're all made up into the one thing that we call the Bible now. Okay, and all those different books are written by different authors. Okay, some have written multiple, some have written one. Some were written way before Jesus' time, some were written after Jesus left this earth. But the very unique thing is that every single book, regardless of the Old Testament or New Testament, they all point towards the man Jesus. Okay, so you may have questions like, how is this possible? You know, some of the authors weren't even alive when the others were. Some of them didn't even know Jesus because Jesus hadn't come yet. How did they all write about Jesus? Okay, why is it so powerful? Why is this Bible so powerful? Why do we hold it in such high esteem? Okay, so we're going to take a look at what the Bible is and what it does. And so our main text can be found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. It says this: "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So the first point is that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that first sentence, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God. The word breath is an interesting one. Okay, in both the Greek and the Hebrew, the word breath means spirit. So in this passage, Paul is using a play on words to emphasize the delivery method of God's word. That is, as God speaks his word to us, the Holy Spirit is intertwined in that delivery. The Spirit brings us God's word. So when God uses the Holy Spirit in his scriptures, okay, in this Bible, all the scriptures have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. As well, the word breath, we see it again in John chapter 20, verse 22, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, and this is what he did, he said, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus' breath symbolized the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. So when we see breath coming from Jesus, God, whatever it is, we know the Holy Spirit is very involved in that delivery. So thus, the delivery method of the scriptures from God's breath to the human writers comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. Okay, as God breathed his scriptures, his Spirit brought that breath to the authors. Okay, so how does the Holy Spirit bring the scripture to the authors? It is done in inspiration. Okay, so if you open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, it says this. It talks about inspiration. It says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it is not by human will or human power that these scriptures have been produced, but it's through the Holy Spirit that the authors wrote the Word of God. Okay, so the Holy Spirit inspires authors in two ways. All right, the first way is the authors spoke from God. Okay, the authors did not write their own truth. They spoke on behalf of God and his truth. It is God's ideas, God's lessons, God's principles that they are making known. In John 14 and 16, Jesus is telling the disciples that when they receive the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit will guide them in all truth. And he said the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything Jesus has said to them. And Paul in Galatians 1 says that the gospel he is sharing is not from man, or was he taught it, but that he received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, the authors weren't merely just grabbing random memories from their brain. They're like, oh, I remember that, I'm going to write this down, that, I'm going to write this down. No, they were receiving the truth from God. And they were doing, and that was happening by the Holy Spirit downloading to them what God's truth is. Okay? The second way that the Holy Spirit inspires is not just what they spoke, but how they spoke it. Okay, the very words they used were inspired by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Samuel 23, David was speaking his last words before he passed on to be with God. And he said this, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Okay, God didn't just tell them the truth and then leave hoping that they would communicate it properly. No, he allowed the Holy Spirit to carry them along in the words they used and how they communicated his truth. Okay, a commentary called Old Testament Survey puts it like this. To assure verbal precision, God, in communicating his revelation, must be verbally precise, and inspiration must extend to the very words. This does not mean that God dictated every word. Rather, his Spirit so pervaded the mind of the human writers that he chose out of his own vocabulary and experiences precisely those words, thoughts, and expression that conveyed God's message with precision. In this sense, the words of the human authors of Scripture can be viewed as the Word of God. Okay, God knew the importance of communicating his Word perfectly. So God sent his Spirit to the authors, okay, to be in their mind, and from there the Spirit brought what God wanted to say to the mind of the author by using the words and the vocabulary and the experiences that the author already had. Just the Spirit made sure the words still communicated effectively the words of God. Okay, this book has survived years and years of people trying to disprove it, to dismantle it, and to dispose of it, but they haven't been able to because it's not a regular book made by human hands. It's an inspired text that communicates what God wants to speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was brought about by humans who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. My second point is that the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible to us. You know, when you read a book for like the second, third, fourth, maybe 100th time, you know, usually it's like a Harry Potter or a Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. When you read it for a second or multiple times, you know what's going to happen. You know which chapters things are going to happen. You know when something's leading up to something. You know everything that's going to happen. You're just enjoying it a second time. Okay, but you see, the Bible is different. You know, you might read the same passage 6, 7, 8 times, but for some reason, when you read it, something new sticks out to you. You know, a new truth, a new lesson, something completely different than what stood out to you the last time. You know, it's not because you have a terrible memory. It's because the Bible is different than any other book. Okay, Hebrews 4:12 tells us exactly why the Bible is different. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Okay, this book is one of a kind. I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it to the day I leave this earth. We do not worship a dead God. Okay, we do not read an outdated and boring book. Our God is alive. Our God is active right now, and he is active in speaking to us. He wants us to hear him. He wants to encourage us. He wants to teach us. He wants to convict us. And he does all of that through his word, through the Bible, through his Holy Spirit. And so the ending of that verse shows just how special the Bible is. It says the word discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows how your marriage is doing. He knows how your mental health is going. He knows the other relationships in your life. He knows everything. And as scary as that sounds, that's the amazing thing with the Bible and the Holy Spirit. You know, when you read it, the Holy Spirit can highlight scriptures and verses that's specifically speaking to the situation that you are right now. He's showing us that we're not reading a Bible that was written 2,000 years ago and taking things and putting it into our lives. No, the Bible is speaking to us today, right now, this week, because it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, because this happens, it's because the Bible is a normal book, okay? The Bible is a normal book that uses English to communicate. Okay, anyone can read it and understand it, but the Bible is abnormal in its revelatory nature, in that it uses the Holy Spirit to illuminate truths and principles that cannot be read in the very grammar of the Bible. Okay, as well, when the Holy Spirit illuminates Scripture and truth to us, we need to understand that he does not reveal new truths, but re-illuminates old truths that are already revealed in Scripture. Okay, the canon of the Bible, the books that are in there, is closed. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. Okay, what is in the Bible is exactly what God wanted. No more, no less. Okay, and when we begin to steer away from what the scriptures say is when we get into dangerous waters. Okay, rule number one when you read the Bible is we need to realize what the Bible meant to the first century believers. Okay, those who first read it, because it was in their context that it was written. Okay, and our context is different than then. So that's how we understand the bigger picture of the Bible is trying to get across. So then when we realize that, we then bridge the context and lessons from the believers then to us now. You know, we are being revealed old truth that is revealed in new ways or in new contexts, okay? Not new truth that Jesus is now telling us for the first time. Okay, rule number two is that whenever we hear from God, we need to cross-reference that with the Bible. Okay, if we think if what we think he's speaking to us is not found in the Bible, then it's not from him. Okay, everything that God wanted to reveal to us, okay, from the time he left this earth to the time he's coming back, everything he wanted us to know is in that Bible. Nothing more, nothing less. So we got to make sure that we cross-reference what we think Jesus is speaking to us in the Bible, through the Bible. Because if it's not in the Bible, it's not from God. Okay, when we read our Bibles, the Holy Spirit speaks through and in conjunction with the Word. He reveals principles, illustrations, and applications that are already revealed within the Word. He will not reveal anything that is outside of the Word. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves, you know, just wanting the Holy Spirit to speak to us in some crazy supernatural way. You know, like we want him to speak to us verbally. You know, we say like, God, like, just speak to me. Like, let me hear your voice right now. Like, I just need to know it's from you. And if I hear your voice, then I'll know it's from you. Or we want him to use prophecy or visions or just something crazy because we want to know that God is speaking to us. You know, and I've been there before. I've asked God to speak to me. Like, I said, God, like, speak to me in an audible voice. I want to know it's you. But the danger is that when those things don't happen, because they don't happen very often, you know, we start to fabricate what we are hearing from God. You know, things that he isn't actually speaking, but things that we maybe want to hear him say. But that is extremely dangerous. It's like we are trying to take shortcuts, okay, of what God is speaking to us. We're trying to get to it right away. We want God to speak to us right away. But why are we trying to take shortcuts when God has already revealed what he wants to speak to us? It's in his word. We need to dig into his word, not just try to find a shortcut. We have in our hands what he has already spoken. 2 Timothy mentions that the scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We need to ask the Spirit to guide and reveal things to us that are in his word, not independent of it. When wanting to hear from God, don't close your Bibles and close your eyes and try to listen. Instead, open your Bibles, open your eyes and begin to read. And from there, the Holy Spirit will illuminate truth and speak to you directly from the word. And my third point is that the Holy Spirit equips us through the Bible. Okay, the end of our Timothy passage reveals this to us. I'm going to read the whole thing, but I'll emphasize the last verse. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that's us, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, the Bible equips us and completes us. The Bible equips us as we read and learn from it because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you want to be equipped in the knowledge of who Jesus is and what he did on this earth? Read all the Gospels. Okay, understand who Jesus is from the different point of views and perspectives of the different authors as they wrote to different people groups. Okay, understand Jesus' habits, why he did the certain things that he did. You know, study Jesus' every words, even the ones that seem insignificant, because those are the ones that sometimes reveal the most about who Jesus is. You want to be equipped in evangelism? Read about the disciples who evangelized after Jesus had left them, how they began to grow the church by hundreds and thousands every day. Read about when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Read about their boldness. Read about how they led people to understand Christ. Read about the persecutions they endured because of it. You want to know how to love others best in this broken world? Read about the radical love Jesus had for every person, no matter their race, no matter their religion, no matter their opinions, no matter if they were his friends or his enemies, no matter how much work was required to love them. He radically loved everyone. Study and model that. The Holy Spirit, through the Bible, equips us in everything that we need to live as lights of this world. He equips us in how to be human, and he equips us in how to be Christians in today's world. But in order to be equipped, we need to spend time in it. And if we don't, it's impossible to be equipped by God's word. What we put our time and effort into is what is going to equip us. What have you been putting your time and effort into? What are you being equipped by right now? What have you been pursuing to learn from this month? You know, what have you been drawing from? You know, are you being equipped by social media? Is that what you're spending your time in? Are you letting it equip your heart, letting it teach and guide you and direct your every decision? Are you being equipped by our world's current situation? Are you getting sucked into others' opinions and learning how to point fingers? Ask yourself right now, what are you letting direct and equip your heart? Is it the Holy Spirit, or is it something of this world? And if you realize that you need the Holy Spirit and God's word to equip you again, I encourage you to reprioritize your life. Look back into the spiritual disciplines that we just learned and implement them. The last series that Pastor Dave and Pastor Adrian talked about. Okay, practice slowing. simplicity, Sabbath, silence and solitude. Okay, practice the other spiritual disciplines that are found in the Bible. Praying, fasting, learning, worshiping, reading the word. When we put what was equipping us before behind us and put our time into Jesus, that is when the Holy Spirit can begin equipping you again and giving you life and pouring into you. So we can see the Holy Spirit intertwined within the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired the authors of the Bible. Okay, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible to us. The Holy Spirit equips us through the Bible. Okay, the Holy Spirit and the scriptures are one and one together. And that is where the power of this book comes from. You know, when you remove the Holy Spirit from the Bible, it becomes a historical book with principles and lessons that are really good. But when the Holy Spirit is intertwined in the Bible, like it is right now, when you pick it up and read, the scriptures become alive. Okay, God's words speak so loudly through it. There's freedom and power in every word. There's peace and security. There's love, grace, and truth, and it connects us with our Lord and Savior. And so the big idea I want to get across is that we can experience the revelation of the Holy Spirit through the Bible. And this may seem like a very simple idea to be the big idea. You might be thinking like, Riley, I already know that. And I know that we already know that, but just because we know something doesn't mean that we are doing it. Okay, and I speak from experience. I'm preaching to myself. You know, we may know that we can experience the Holy Spirit through the word, but we never try to. You know, like, oh, it takes too much of my time. It's too hard to find where to read. I can't hear him the best there. And so we don't do it. Instead, we just wait for this, a Sunday morning service where it'll be easier to hear God, where the worship will already bring us into God's presence, where the pastor will already deliver us a message that, you know, so we can consume that word that comes from the Bible and be good for the week. That's not how Jesus wanted it to be. We don't need a church building to experience the Holy Spirit. You don't need a good worship time to experience the Holy Spirit. You don't need a pastor to break down a passage for you to experience the Holy Spirit. You don't need coffee to experience the Holy Spirit. You don't need other people to experience the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God speaks through his word. Yes, it's very useful to gather together as a body in a church, and yes, it's biblical to meet together. I'm not saying we shouldn't. That is very important still. All I'm saying is that it's not the sole way to experience God. Or even the best way. In New Testament times, people came to the temple, they gathered the temple, because they wanted to hear the Bible read to them. Okay, there's only scrolls. They all didn't have a copy. So they would go, they would listen to the Bible, the Word of God, and they would experience him through it. But now in our lives, we have the Bibles at our very fingertips. Okay, there's Bibles, they're so easy to get. They're in our homes, they're in hotels, they're at thrift stores. The Bibles are everywhere. There's not one place that we can really escape the Bible. But even though we have the Bible and the scriptures at our fingertips, we often neglect it and instead pass it up to go to church and to listen to the pastor share about the Bible. Again, I'm telling you, this is not a bad thing. Coming to church and learning and experiencing God with people is a good thing. Okay, it is very good and we should continue to do it. But it's dangerous when it becomes the only way that we experience the Holy Spirit. We need a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit in our Bible. A pastor once wrote this, and it cuts me deep, and it says, "The distance between me and God's revelation is the distance between me and my Bible." You know, and I get worried that if that distance becomes so great, we can lose that intimacy, that love, that relationship with Jesus, because it just becomes stale and soon becomes irrelevant. Where is your Bible? Is it on a bookshelf somewhere? Is it at a dinner table? Is it in your bedside table? Maybe it's in close proximity to you, but has it been opened in months? Does it have dust on it? Where is your Bible? Because I definitely speak from personal experience that the distance between me and God's revelation is the distance between me and my Bible. And I've experienced it before. I was reading a Facebook post in a youth pastor's group about one of my favorite childhood Christian rock bands. Their name was Hawk Nelson. Okay, and he recently posted on social media saying that, you know, he no longer believes in God and that he's quitting the band because of it. And the article showed that he just said that he started to become bored with reading the Bible. He didn't like reading the Bible anymore. He didn't like praying. You know, he felt uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. And in that post, felt uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, and so he eventually decided he didn't believe in God anymore. Okay, but in that post, there was a comment from someone, okay, trying to like find the root issue that was happening here. And I think he found it, but I also think he identified one of the greatest threats to the 21st century Christians. Okay, he said this: "I think churches and congregants began to worship the subculture more than Jesus. We were more in love with the music, the relationships, and the Christian morality than we were in love with intimacy with Jesus. That's why so many are faithful to church, but have no desire to read their Bible or pray. They worship church, but not Jesus." And I'm not saying this is everyone, but I just want us to self-evaluate ourselves. Because when we stop reading the Bible, when we stop praying, when we stop actively being Christians outside of the church, is when we fall out of intimacy with Jesus and we begin worshiping the church and what if it offers, the music, the people, the lights. We begin to worship that more than we worship and honor our relationship with Jesus. You know, maybe that's what God is using 2020 to be. With all the crazy things that are happening, maybe he's trying to get us to realize that it's not about the church. It's not about the things. Those are benefits of a relationship with Jesus, but it's about the intimacy with him. And he wants to bring us back to that, to our first love. And maybe that's what's happening. Maybe he's using this to accomplish that. Okay, we need to have a desire to read our Bible. No longer can we settle for Sunday mornings to fill us up spiritually for the week. Okay, our church gathering isn't a spiritual gas station to fill your empty spiritual tank every week. It's a time to share and celebrate your already full tank with others. That's what church was designed for. And I do know that sometimes we need church. You know, we've had a hard week or a hard couple weeks, and we need church to fill us up and to encourage us, and that is good, and that is what the church is for, and that is why we have people here that love you and want to see you flourish. Okay, but we shouldn't be depending on week after week after week after year. So instead of needing the church to fill us spiritually for the week, we should go through our week and every day be filling our spiritual tank slowly by reading the Bible and letting the Holy Spirit saturate your mind and heart with the revelation of God. And then when we show up on Sunday, our tank is full from taking time and seeking the Holy Spirit throughout the week, and we are able to share and celebrate with one another. And we're able to experience God at an even greater level because we're not playing catch-up. We're just exceeding. We're experiencing God in a new way. So what's the best way to start creating a habit of reading your Bible throughout the week? I can tell you the best way is different for every single person, but I'll share what works for me and offer some insight of what could help. You know, when I moved here, I was having difficulty getting into my Bible, reading the Word. My routine was shaken up. I was newly married, moved out of my parents' place, moved to a new city, started my first career. Okay, my routine was in uproar, all right? And I had trouble finding that routine of reading the Bible. And so my spiritual life became pretty dry. So I had to take a step back and reevaluate my priorities and put time with Jesus back on the top. And so I'm going to share with you steps that helped me create a better routine and habit of spending time with God. And so that's what helped me, and maybe it'll help you. Okay, so these are very practical steps. Okay, step one, and if you're really trying to create a routine, I encourage you, write these steps down and try them out. Okay, step one, set a goal. Okay, how many days a week do you want to read the Bible? 2, 4, 7? You know, I encourage you, start small. Accomplish that first and work your way up. Don't aim too high. It's hard. Okay, so start small and work your way up. Second thing, pick a book of the Bible to read through. Okay, then you won't have the issue of when you have a limit, like, you know, your half an hour block of spending time with Jesus, and you're spending 15 minutes flipping pages trying to figure out what you're trying to read. Okay, pick a Bible. Read chapter by chapter and read through that. You know, I would pick one of the smaller letters that were written by Paul, Peter, or John in the New Testament, because those are small, they're easy, and they're full of really good stuff. Okay, the third thing, Find a consistent time and place. Pick a time of day where you always have time to read, and pick a nice quiet place of your house or the place that you just love to spend time in the most. Some people find morning work works best. You know, maybe it's after work, maybe it's after dinner, maybe it's before bed. But whatever it is, pick it, pick the time, pick the place, and stick with it every time, because it helps create that routine. Okay, number four, remove distractions. Remove anything that could distract you from getting into the Word of God. Okay, the biggest one today's days is cell phones. Okay, get rid of it when you're spending time with Jesus. But if you want it to listen to music, put it on Do Not Disturb so you're not tempted when it lights up to pick it up and to look at it. Okay, so remove those distractions. Number five, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word to you. Just ask. He listens. And then just truly, if you're reading one chapter, read the chapter. Don't just skim it. Okay, truly read it. Spend time digging in and rereading sections if necessary, because he will illuminate something to you and he'll help you apply it to your life. Okay, and the last one is find an accountability partner. Okay, if you're part of a life group, see if you all want to do it together. You know, read through a book of the Bible together and every week meet up and talk about what you read, the questions, the concerns, the lessons, everything. You can just talk about it, okay, and keep each other accountable. Or grab a friend or a spouse and ask them to read with you. Or just ask them to keep you accountable. Okay, knowing someone is going to ask if you at least read what you said you were going to read will help you keep you motivated to reach your goal. Okay, those are my six steps. But just as I close, I want to challenge us today. This week, let's start digging into the Word. All right, let's fill our spiritual tanks. Let us practice experiencing the Holy Spirit in the Bible at home. So, you know what? I am going to set a goal for myself. Okay, I'm going to read through the book of 1 John this week. Okay, it's 5 chapters. I'm going to start on Monday. So Monday, chapter 1, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, all 5 chapters. And I'm going to spend time just digging into that Word. Okay, and I encourage you and I challenge you, join me in this. If you don't already have a reading routine, I encourage you, join me. Okay, let this be their kickstart. Let's try to get something going. I'll be doing it with you. Okay, grab a friend, grab a spouse. Ask them to do it with you. Ask them to keep you accountable to do it. Okay, if you have no one, email me. Okay, my email is on the church website. Email me and just tell me, be like, hey, I'm doing the reading with you. Can you keep me accountable? And I will do it with you, and you can keep me accountable. But let's stop coming up with excuses of not getting into the Word, and let's just do it. Let's start creating those habits. Let's start experiencing the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Okay, so this week, let's pursue God at home. God has already spoken to us. You know, let's figure out what he is speaking to us this week. Remember, the distance between you and God's revelation is the distance between you and your Bible. So open up that Bible. Spend time in the Word. Dig into it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and illuminate something to you. And watch God's revelation just pour over you, and you just feel so connected with God. So challenge us. Let's do that this week. It's going to be really good. Let's pray together. Jesus, God, we thank you, first of all, for your Holy Spirit, Jesus. That as you left, that you did not leave us alone, God, but that you gave us an advocate, a helper, God, to empower us, to encourage us, to be with us, Jesus, so we can feel your presence near all the time. God, I thank you that it's active, that's alive, that it's moving all the time and speaking. God, I thank you for your Word, Jesus, the Bible. God, thank you that we can understand everything about your heart, Jesus, that everything in the Bible points to who you are, God, and we can just learn more about you, Jesus, and just be saturated by who you are, God, and let that saturate our life. God, I just pray right now, God, would you help us just develop routines to dig into your Word, God, to start filling our spiritual tanks during the week, Jesus, and just experiencing you at home, God, because that is what you want. Is you just want us to experience you all the time, not just on a Sunday, God, but every day, Jesus. And so I pray, would you convict us, Lord? Would you push us, Jesus? And would you bring people beside us to help us develop those routines? And God, would we just see people just feeling a, a growth in their relationship with you, Jesus, and just feel like they are in tune with your presence and your spirit, and that they can hear you so much so much easier, God, because they're digging into your word, Lord. God, be with us as we read through 1 John this week, God. Would you reveal things to myself as I read it, Lord? And if anyone else is joining, God, would you reveal things to them, Lord? Would you reveal what you are wanting to speak to them this week, God? And Jesus, would we just fall in love with you, Jesus? Fall in love with you again in that intimacy with you, God. We love you, Jesus. We know you're on the throne, God. We are excited to be celebrate all together again at church and celebrate you, Jesus. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.